Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is going on up in the stars in the sky. So far this morning, it is a beautiful morning, sitting here in a little bit of clouds, but as my husband left for work, he called me up really quick. He said, look out the window. And as I did, I could see Mount Rainier, which is literally about 100 miles or more away from me, sitting there big as an ice cream cone with the sun shining on her, and showing us the beautiful mountain that it can be. Certainly a beautiful and inspiring sight as we're sitting here in the shadow of the full moon coming up tomorrow in the sign of Pisces. And this is a pretty powerful lunation cycle. And because the moon on her way through Pisces begins to interact with all of the planets in very powerful ways throughout the zodiac. So wherever they are, they're getting kind of jazzed up and jiggled up by the moon's passage through the sign. And literally on the full moon, let me just show you a sneak peek of the full moon's chart because I think it's so beautiful and so telling about literally what the potential is. Look at that. Can you see the kite? That's what jumps out at me first. The kite, the mystic rectangle, there's T-squares. We have all kinds of fun stuff going on here that creates possibilities, right? Possibilities. And if you felt stuck or if you have felt like you were waffling, like I have been, I told you earlier this week, I felt like I was sort of waffling. Even if you're still feeling a little bit indecisive, the way is clearing up and you should be able to see what comes next. So while we were sleeping last night, well, most of us were sleeping last night, the moon moved out of Aquarius and into Pisces, now in preparation then for this full moon. So she will spend the day today in Pisces. She will spend all day Friday in Pisces. Something interesting, though, with the full moon tomorrow is it's at 9:33 p.m. my time, West Coast time. So every time zone in the United States will have it on Friday the 13th, except those folks that are on the East Coast, it will actually tip over into the 14th for you. And so the full moon even straddling then what is a very sacred or a day filled with a lot of superstition and the day following that. And immediately as the moon goes and goes into full, and right after that, it begins a void of course moon where it stays in the void until 3:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. So interesting, right? We have all of this buzz and all of this whirlwind going on today and most of the day tomorrow. Then we have the full moon and then whoosh, it goes into the void. And when the moon goes into the void, of course, it isn't a good time to push the river. It isn't a good time to start something new. So luckily, it kind of coincides with the weekend. So we probably aren't in our work realms trying to get things done. So we can just sit back, relax, and enjoy the day on Saturday. All right, that's my opener. Let's talk about who is visiting us this morning. We see Mimi. Good morning, honey, and it's good to see you. Debbie Hedden has joined us. Linda, good morning. Asa, good morning. I hope you're feeling better, Asa. Debbie Hedden says, good morning. How awesome for you to have something so beautiful to see. And I could also, if I go out, how would I do that? One of these ways, I could also see Mount Baker, which is literally really close to me. But to be able to see both of them, like when you're driving on the freeway up toward where we live here, you can see all of the Cascade Mountains and those two volcanoes that are big, large, and in charge, and they're absolutely gorgeous. So I have that as the backdrop to where I live. It's a beautiful part of the country. Natasha, good morning. Suzanne, good morning. Asa, love and light. She says, Stephanie Worth, good morning. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, good morning. And we are a full house here, it looks like. There's a lot of people joining us. If you are new to the Meta Cafe, we welcome you to our community of people who are interested in discovering what is going on up in the heavens. But we also do other things here besides just astrology. We talk about human design, we talk about the gene keys, and we talk about Pleiadian earth energy astrology and any other topics of interest that come up. We're usually in the depths of things here in the morning. So let's take a look at what is the banner aspect of the day, the one that would stand out in the crowd, is Mars in a square to Jupiter. There's some interesting dancing going on with all of the planets. And by the way, just a few weeks ago, when we had the Sun, Mars, Mercury, and Venus all conjunct the Sun, that is heralding a beginning of a new cycle with each one of those planets and the Sun. So if we're looking at archetypes, it's like the family gathering, right? The family comes together and maybe there's some new rules or maybe there's some new values that are being dictated to them by the Sun. And then they take off and they move through the rest of the zodiac until they next meet up with the Sun a year from now. And they plan their days, or they plan this energy to be specific to how they are going to be focusing out in the world of the zodiac. So the new beginning came, I think it was on September 3rd. And here we are, we're just about a week later, 10 days later. And now we have the full moon where things begin to separate out a bit. And those inner planets then, which are really representations of who you are and what affects you personally, taking that new energy out into the world. So we are in that phase now, and the full moon kind of brings it to an end, right? That their closeness, they'll begin to separate from here on Saturday morning. Mercury and Venus move out of Libra, out of Virgo and into Libra. And then Mars will stay and linger in Virgo for a while longer. So they're moving on. Although there is this pile, they seem to be following one another pretty closely. And that takes us up into, of course, 2020, when then the outer planets begin to cluster with the inner planets and things get mighty interesting. So that is kind of where we are now. So if you have not done your work through the summer and through this part of fall or this late part of summer, I forget, it's not even fall yet, then it's really very much time for you to get that clarity that you need in order to move forward with your life. This full moon sits at 21 degrees Pisces. It'll occur, like I said, at 9:33 p.m. West Coast time and 12:33 a.m. on the 14th for those of you on the East Coast. And here we have a Pisces moon connecting our creativity and imagination to its opposing point in Virgo, where the Sun is. And that is about grounding in and the structures we've built to support the things that we're building. So we have the connection here with this full moon to bring our creative imagination into reality. And of course, that's what we've been working up to, right? Remember we said Leo energy back in the summer, and it was creative and imaginational. It rules the fifth house, Leo does, in the chart. And so what we had created in our minds or in our imaginations then needed to be brought down into and grounded into reality with those planets then moving on into Virgo. So we've already been aware of this. Now we have the full moon in Pisces. The moon is in Pisces. The Sun is in Virgo, right? There's an opposition. Remember yesterday we were talking about the opposition and how both planets want their expression. And we have to find a way to bring them together. We bring that creative imagination energy of Pisces together with the grounding ability, the practical application in Virgo, and we can see what we do next, where we go from here. So we have a wonderful kind of full moon. It's just a busy one. And when a planet like the moon, which we already know moves fairly quickly, but when it's hitting all of the planets before it goes into a moon, its full moon or its new moon state, that it gives you a lot of leeway for completion in this case. If it were the new moon, it would be about what you can complete in order to begin. But here it is, what are you completing in order to let go? And finally, hallelujah, be you, because you do you best, right? So it is about taking on your truth, and it is about being authentic. It is about being grounded in your approach, but also looking to the imagination and creating from a place of, you know, creating from a place where I don't put all the shoulda, coulda, would've's in there. I just dream the dream. Like if I can dream it, then I can make it a reality. So many times we dream it, and then our minds or other people get in the way and start telling us what we can or can't do. And then it takes all of that excitement, all of that creative energy, and just flushes it away, right? So we want to be very careful, very aware of the mind. Remember the gate that the sun and the earth are sitting in during this period of time is the gate of stinking thinking, and literally the earth sitting at the gate of grace and charm and being bold and being able to take steps forward. And the full moon will also, the moon in Pisces will also be sitting at that gate 22. So adding more energy of creativity, being emotionally aware, right? It's on the emotional center. Let me show you the human design chart because I pulled up a new one for this morning as well. I didn't mark up this one though. So here we have the emotional center. It is open right now, at least by transits, but some of you have it defined. Probably about 50% of you out there have this defined. And here's the gate 22, and it leads up to the throat center. And the emotional center is about our feeling from within what is true, correct, or right for us. The question becomes, what feels good? Right. And we are, this is an evolutionary point plus an involutionary point for us, as both the gates that are involved in our evolution are sitting on the emotional center, right? The evolution as seen through the gate 55, which is on that emotional center, the gate of spiritual abundance or the abundance through spirit. And then the gate 22, taking us inward to be more gracious, to find grace. And, you know, I was thinking about that word grace. And I think you could also think of it in forgiveness, with the ability to make changes, to come into alignment with something new, with something greater than what you have believed that you could have. So what if with this full moon and all of this buzzy energy over the next day or so, you just let it all go and headed towards your dreams? What would that look like? For God's sakes, what would that feel like, right? What would that create more of in your life if you finally just said, you know what, no more worry, no more conflict. I'm just heading out to live my life according to my dreams. And yeah, I'm probably going to hit obstacles. And yeah, there's probably going to be people that want to bring me down, but it doesn't matter. That is all just fluff. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm not pushing. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep moving forward with my dreams. What would that feel like? I think it would be awesome. Asa, my son's birthday is tomorrow, and he was born on a Friday, the 13th too. So likely he is going into a year that is a multiple of seven, right? So he's either seven or he's 14 or he's 21, something like that, perhaps. Asa says, yes, much better. Thank you. I'm so glad. I hate it when people don't feel good. Greetings, everybody, from Rebecca and Jan Landry. Good morning. Christine Erickson, good morning. Virgo and Fish, Pisces. Susan Bronlin, good morning. It's good to see you. And Chanel, good morning to you. Christine Erickson says, stinking thinking here, meditation here to clear my mind. Kathy Miller, good morning. You know, that is a really good way to deal with it. Because, you know, your mind, we've trained our minds almost, we've conditioned our minds, let's go with that word, to have more power than the rest of the centers in our body. And literally, that is the wrong way to be. It's upside down thinking, right? It's wrong, because your real true power lies in the body. It's in the heart, it's in the solar plexus, it's further down in the sacral. Which, by the way, the sacral is the center for creative energy. It's the source of all that fertility and all of that ability to create in whether you have it open or defined, it doesn't matter, because we all have that sacral center where we are ready to create at a moment's notice, right? That's just what it does. Many of you who are projectors or reflectors or manifestors, you have to go about that creativity in a different way than the generators or the manifesting generators, right? They have a defined sacral if they're generator types, and they're in response to what shows up in the outer world. But the rest of you might have to wait a little bit in between times as you're waiting for the right invitation, or you're waiting for the 28-day cycle of the moon if you're a reflector. And if you are a manifester, you're matching up your creative energy with whatever power you have in your authority. So it might be you're matching your creative energy with your emotional energy, or with your intuition, or with your will. So everybody's doing this in a different way, but everybody has access to this same creative energy, the same imaginal ability to create. All that stands in the way of you creating anything that you want is possibly timing, being in the right place at the right time with the right people and the right opportunity. But worse than that would be that you are in your head sabotaging yourself, right? Telling yourself the untruths, not allowing yourself to be authentic. If you listen for a moment sometimes to what your mind is telling you, it can be very negative. You wouldn't even talk to a friend or a loved one in that way that we're often talking to ourselves. So we have a lot that we need to push through and change about ourselves. He's 28, 7 times 4, 4 revolutions of 8. 7. Jeez, Janet. Okay, so let's take a look at the Pleiadian Earth energy today. We are looking at 3 intuiting. 3 is a universal number. If you'll remember correctly, the universal number is where whatever planet we might be on, whatever star system within our galaxy that we are in resonance with creative energy, the energy of 3. And this is creative, as in I create, or it is also about thinking in new ways. What if you chose to think in terms of creative energy? What if you chose to every day think about, instead of, oh, what's going to happen to me today? What if you thought about, what am I going to create today? What would I love to create today? What would spirit love for me to create today? You completely change the attitude of the energy, and attitude is everything, right? Attitude is everything. Now, I wanted to bring, let me finish my thought here. The earth energy of the day is intuiting. And here is where we actually have to define what is real versus what is unreal. In the Course of Miracles, there's a saying, it says, only love is real. And if only love is real, that means that anything that isn't of love is not real. That's pretty simple, and it's pretty profound. So if you're sitting here chatting with yourself, telling yourself how awful it is that you've done this, or I started doing this morning, I had a memory of something that I did many years ago, and I was feeling sort of ashamed that I ever behaved in that manner, and I don't even know why that came up right then. And as I started to talk to myself about that, I went, whoa, wait a minute, that's all in the past, and forgive yourself, right? So what? You had a momentary lapse. You said something you should never have said. Big deal. And yes, in the moment, it was a big deal. And I've learned since that you don't open your mouth and say things like that to people. It might hurt their feelings. And in that moment, I caught myself thinking in the negative about myself. So you have the opportunity in every moment to change the thought, intuiting what's real, what isn't, right? What's real can only be here in this moment. And if it's not based in love, then it isn't real, right? It may feel real. I had a friend one time who used to say, Diane Light, you've seen her here in the morning. She used to say, it seems so real, doesn't it? And it's true, right? All of that chaos and all of that conflict and all of that polarization and the craziness of the world seems so real. But is it based in love? If it's not based in love, then it isn't real. Seems very simplistic, I know, but it's the truth. I feel that viscerally within. It's just remembering that in the heat of the moment. Is this real? Ask yourself, is this real? Is this of love? If it isn't, then let it go. Marjorie Roth, new from Virginia. Welcome, Marjorie. It's great to see you out there. Kathy Miller says, good morning, all. Yesterday was one of the worst discombobulated days in a long time. Nothing bad, just ugh. Asa, how would will and creative energy look like? Ooh, good question. So in human design, the will is seen through the heart center, this little center right here. This is the ego center, the heart center. This is will that puts to work the energy of doing something. So if I will it, I do it, right? If you are a manifester, and I know you are, but I can't remember if it's your will center that's connected to the throat that makes you the manifester. But if it is, then it is your will that you use to get things done. So if you have a creative energy to build a labyrinth in your yard this weekend, then it's willpower that gets that done, that gets to the store, gets the bricks and the mortar and the whatever else you need, that draws out the plan, that enacts that. That's will, willpower. You put that to work, you get that done, and you're done, right? So will energy is turned on, and then it turns back off. So the problem for manifestors that have willpower as their authority is that they want to keep going and going and going. You need to do, and then you need to rest. Remember that center pulses in energy. So it pulses on, gives you access to willpower, perseverance, tenacity, determination, and then it shuts off. And our tendency as human beings is to keep doing. Remember the conversation yesterday about being a human being or a human doing? So those of you who have defined wills, defined heart centers, must remember that it opens up and gives you the pulse of energy, and then it shuts back down, much like animals. And when you watch them at play, they're playing, 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 and then they just all of a sudden stop, lay down even, go get a drink of water. And then later they pick back up where they left off. That's the energy of our proper energy, our proper use of that center. Unfortunately, we often just keep going and going and going. Imagine telling your boss, I'm sorry, my heart center just pulsed off, so I need to go lay down now and take a nap, or I need to go do something else. So we have to learn how to monitor our own energy. And so Asa, to answer your question, you use that, you enjoin that with a creative impulse, something that you want to create, and then you monitor your own energy level as you're working through it. When your pulse turns off, you suddenly are tired, then what you're doing feels like drudgery or it feels heavy. Stop what you're doing for the time being. Pick it back up when that pulse is back on. That's the best way to do it. And creating what you love is also something that helps here. Because if you're creating something that you're not really connected to, then the whole project is going to feel heavy, and it's not going to feel light and fun. But if it's something that you're really connected to, it's going to go by like that. And you're just going to find it's done, and you're going to stand back and you're going to go, wow, that is gorgeous. I love it. Right? So that's the way that one works. Okay. Any other questions? Let me know. I'll be happy to answer that. The key with willpower is to understand it pulses on, and then it also pulses back off. And it's sort of rhythmic in that sort of pulse. And the rhythm, though, may be different from one day to the other. It may be frenetic on one day as it's on and you have a lot to do and you get done. And then at some point you hit a wall. That's when that's turned off. Our tendency would be to keep pushing through that wall. But I think it's better if we stop, get a breather, go get a drink of water, go do something different, and then come back. Or even just meditate. Sit still. Kathy, just make yourself sit down. Sit still, right? Just get into prayer or get into meditation or do some yoga or get a book or something, right? Something else that you can do in the short term that is going to make you feel more rested. Okay. All right. Now, something occurred to me yesterday. I think I was reading an article. I don't know what I was doing, actually. And it occurred to me that something that I wanted to share with all of you. And that is, we know we're very familiar with the galactic center. Well, at least I talk about it quite frequently. And the fact that the galactic center sits at the latter degrees of Sagittarius, 26, 27 degrees of Sagittarius for most of us, eventually that is going to precess forward, and it will actually rise it will arrive at 0 degrees of Capricorn. But right now it's sitting at the very later degrees of Sagittarius, which means that periodically, when there are planets in Virgo and when there are planets in Pisces, the square aspect forms with the galactic center. And I've never really thought about this like that. I mean, I think about it because I'm a Gemini. I have my sun opposing the galactic center. So that's always in my awareness. If you're a late degree Sagittarian, then your sun is conjunct the galactic center. But what about Pisces and Virgo? They are in square aspects. So when the sun or the moon or any other planet, i.e., Mercury and Venus today, are sitting at that 26th, 27th, 28th degree of Virgo or Pisces, then they are in a square or a challenge to the galactic center. So let's review what the galactic center is first, and then maybe see how we can apply this knowing, this knowledge to our own personal charts and our own personal lives. So the galactic center is the center of the Milky Way galaxy. If we could go beyond, and Hubble has done this, if we could go beyond our own solar system and look back in, we see that we're a spiral galaxy. And in the center of our spiral galaxy is what scientists believe to be a black hole. In more spiritual or esoteric or metaphysical terms, I think of that black hole as the source of creation, the residence perhaps of God or source, the birthplace of the Akashic records. From that galactic center, which is highly energetic, so we're talking the physical plane now, not the spiritual plane, but the physical plane. It's a highly energetic place. It is the source of a lot of neutrinos and gamma rays and cosmic rays, microwaves, and all kinds of high energy particles that stream out of it and bathe the entire of the cosmos of our solar system with those particles. It isn't a source of energy that turns off and turns on. It is always projecting out. It is always transmitting energy. So keep that in mind. It is always transmitting the energy of creation. It is of the truth, of authenticity, the big T, capital T truths, right? Not the truths that we think of about our religious beliefs or anything like that, but the big T truths. And we as human beings are little receptors, right? We are the dishes that receive the signal. We can receive the signals from the galactic center, which is why meditation and quiet is so important for us. Because when we're sitting in that kind of quiet, we're tapping in to this stream of energy that is out there for anybody to pick up. It's free energy, it's free information. Right? Think of it like Google. You go to Google and you say what you want to know, and it comes back with information. The galactic center is the source of that same kind of streaming energy. If you want to know what the capital T truth is about life, then you tap in, and that truth is there for you to bring in for yourself. Every one of you can do it because every one of us as humans are transmitters and receivers, right? Some of us are better at it than others. So, I hope that makes sense to everybody. Let me check in, make sure there aren't questions that I need to answer. Asa says, perfect. Okay, Lynn, just joining. Good morning, Lynn. So Marjorie says, wow, Rebecca, OMG, didn't think about this. Thank you. My Neptune sits on the galactic center, squaring my Mars, Virgo at 27. So great. Okay, so you guys have an idea of what this means. I mean, this is profound astrology here we're talking about today. This is woo-woo in to the nth degree, but it's the truth, right? And any one of you that sits with that for a moment will realize how many times have you yourself, in a moment of quiet, received the answer to a prayer or the answer to a dilemma? Or I got to tell you, ooh, I'm getting chills thinking about this because one time in my life, I tapped into a friend. I don't even know why. I was just sitting quietly. I wasn't intending to do this. And this is what how this can happen for you is that sometimes you're not even intending to, but you've just gotten quiet and your mind has opened up and you've been receiving information. And I looked over at my husband and I said, oh my God, we have to go to Megan's house right now. There's something wrong. And Megan was a friend of mine at the time. And he's like, well, just call her. And I'm like, nope. We have to go over there right now. I don't know why. I just know something's wrong. We went to her house. She had tried to commit suicide. She was laying on her floor, bleeding from her wrists. And I don't know why I would have ever tapped into that, but I did. And we were able to get help to her in time to save her life. And it's a great story in that from the depths of her despair and her nightmare, she evolves and becomes a very celebrated author in her life. So tapping in, you never know exactly what it is that's there, but I bet you've all had experiences, maybe not as dramatic as that one that I just shared, but where suddenly you knew, you go to your telephone and you pick it up, and your mom, who you were just thinking about, is on the other end. Or you say something at the same time a spouse or a friend or somebody else was thinking the same thing. It's because we are all linked with this information. We just have to open up to receive it. Right? So it's a big transmitter, and we are each receivers. We also transmit to one another, but we're also big receivers. So when this is flowing, we are just picking this up. Now, when we go to the squares, remember the squares are challenging us. So we have this Virgo energy over here that's very busy, right? It's busy energy, it's work energy, and it's doing energy. On the other side, we have Pisces, which is receiving energy, it's spiritual energy, it's imagination, it's creativity. And we are often so busy, or we're so far into escaping that we aren't really tuned in. So we might have to work a little bit more to tune in. We are purposefully tuning in at this moment in time to the energy that's streaming towards us from the galactic center. So it's a unique period of the year where this can happen for us, right? So September, and also we'll have this in February and March when we get into that Pisces time of year. The challenge is simmering your energy down enough to receive. Remember earlier in the week when I pulled a card for us for the week? We pulled the card Yin. Now I suddenly understand what that card was all about. Right? It was all about our being in receiving of this transmitted energy. It is about our tuning in to what it is that it is trying to tell us, because it's there. You ask the question, you tune in, and it comes, because it's like just grabbing information out of the air. It's that simple, but our minds make it so much more complicated. Because our minds are always busy working, and oh, did I hear that right? Was that the right? Was that God's voice, or was that the right thing for me to do? And now I'm questioning myself. Well, that's different than what I thought I was going to do, and blah blah blah. So if we can shut the mind off, tune in to spirit, we have an opportunity to really pick up the transmitted information directly from the source of energy here in our universe. So, Lynn says, perfect. That's why I'm joining late. Had to meditate. Awesome. Jan says, my Neptune is conjunct the galactic center. Also awesome. And so, if your Neptune is, so let's look at the planets that might be conjunct the galactic center. So, if your Neptune is sitting around that 26, 27 degrees of Sagittarius, where the galactic center sits, then you are here picking up spiritual awareness. Neptune is the planet of spirituality, and it may initially be greeted with confusion for you. Confusion because Neptune doesn't see things the way that we see them here in the planet Earth, where everything is grounded and real. You're picking things up that aren't real. You might be hearing voices. You might be seeing things. You might be clairvoyant, clairaudient. You might be clairsentient feelings. And then when you can't place what it is or where it's coming from or why it's being shown to you, it can create that confusion and that backpedaling away from that intuitive self that knows what next to do. Or the other way is that you pick this up and then you share that information with the world through the work that you do, whether it's through healing or it's through spirituality or it's whatever way that you do it. You're sharing information. It's almost like channeling from the direct source of the galactic center. But you have to remember something. Remember planets. We talked about planets in conjunction. I might be getting this mistaken. I don't know if we actually talked about this or not. But when we have planets in conjunction, they're sitting so close to one another that it's hard for them to maintain their own identities. So they're kind of merging their energies. And it can make it hard for you to see or hear or intuit what's really coming from the galactic center or God, let's say source, as opposed to what's coming from your mind. So you may have to really be someone that meditates on a regular basis to be able to tease out what is real from the standpoint of the physical universe versus what you're hearing from your spiritual voice, your divine self. Jan. Okay, conjunct the galactic center. Now, every one of you have the galactic center in your chart. No one is missing it. No one is missing it whatsoever. And the galactic center then is always streaming this information. Some of you are more aware of it than others. Some of you can more readily tap into it because of the way that you've been conditioned, right? Maybe you've been conditioned to always get into meditation and or be silent and listen. But a lot of others are really busy. Our minds, maybe you have a defined ajna and your mind is always busy. So really, literally, the best way to tune into your galactic center and whatever information it's bringing you is to be quiet, to get into meditation, to or prayer, or just simply allow your mind to stop working for a while. Okay, I did that with my mom once, picked up phone and she was on the other end. I get a lot of these things. Well, Kathy, you are actually a Pisces, right? So you're literally born almost at the point of the square to the cosmic center or the galactic center. So this is already, you know, streaming towards you in some way. You might just be challenged to act upon that information when it comes in. Jan said her moon is at 21 Sagittarius also. So your moon at 21 Sag is now going to be in a square to this full moon, which is going to be at 21 Pisces. So all of this is to say that right now with this full moon, the reason I would even bring this up is the full moon is at 21 degrees, but of Pisces, but it will move over to that 26, 27, 28 degree mark very shortly after the full spot. And it likely is going to be in the night. So pay attention this weekend to your dreams. Right? Pay attention to the voices that are coming to you or the information that's coming in or the creative energy that's coming in, your imagination, whatever, right? Pay attention. This is a great weekend to pay attention. Good morning, April. Good morning, Marjorie. Again, it says my north node sits at 27 Sag. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Destiny on top of the galactic center. So, you know, Marjorie and who was that other person that was telling me this? Jan. Yeah. Jan and Rebecca. Those of you who have a very tight conjunction to of a planet to your galactic center. What you may want to do when you're sitting in meditation or prayer or whatever is to envision yourself sitting in a position opposing the galactic center. You can picture the galactic center any way you want, maybe just as at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. You could just picture the galaxy and see yourself sitting across from the Milky Way galaxy and being in the stream of that energy that's pouring out of it so that you can find yourself in receiving of that information rather than the planet sitting there blocking it in some way or changing it in some way. So that's how I would work with that energy. So that's how I often am when I'm working with clients. So some of you out there who have been my clients, you know that sometimes I'm just bringing in information. I can't even tell you how many times I will say, and this is just a hypothetical, but what I've chosen to talk about is a subject that's near and dear to that person. It's because my sun sits opposite of the galactic center. It's streaming in toward me. Then you can maybe open up those antenna bigger and pick that up for yourself without having the confusion that comes in from Neptune sitting right there at that spot. Or the North Node, destiny here, right? If to hear your destiny or see your destiny more clearly, Marjorie, you may have to do that same thing. Sit back a ways in meditation away from the galactic center and, you know, see yourself as the North Node and you're receiving your marching orders from the cosmic center from the, your ability to stay backwards from it a bit and just receive. April, my moon is Pisces. My son's sun is Pisces. His moon is Cancer, and my tall. Your tail is Cancer. I don't know what the tail means. Maybe you're talking about your south node. Either way you look at it, a lot of Pisces energy, a lot of water energy hanging out there for you, April. Rebecca, yes, this voice can be quite intimidating, but I'm sure I have that Mars in Virgo square for discernment. That's a great one. That is true. Virgo energy and planets in Virgo have great power of discernment. So discernment helps you choose what is correct for you and what it is that your mind is picking up that isn't correct for you. So discernment helps you choose what is correct. Mimi, my GC natal is 2615 and currently at 277. Insight on this, if you would. Oh, insight on this, if you would. So the galactic center moves very slowly. Very slowly across the backdrop of the stars. And it literally moves about 1 degree every 72 years, I believe it is. So most of us born on the planet have that sitting between 26 and 28 degrees of Sagittarius. So it's going to take a lot of years, right? So literally in our lifetimes, there's not much movement in the galactic center. So it's a very stable point in your chart, which, of course, if you want to tap into streaming energy from a galactic center, from some point, you want it to be steady eddy. You want it to always be there. And indeed, it is. So each person that's born into a lifetime literally will see that galactic center only precess about a degree if they live to be 72 years old. I hope that makes sense, and I hope that's what your question is, Mimi. And if that didn't answer your question, maybe you could put it back, let me know that it isn't in what you really meant or something here. Janet, does it go the other way as well, right? Like a two-way street. In other words, are you transmitting to the galactic center? Is that what you mean, Rebecca? Because I would say yes, we are all receivers and antennas. Right, you as a human being. So, okay, this goes into some real esoteric stuff. Let's do this for a minute. In your human design chart, right, you have this thing called the G center, right? The G center, the galactic center, or the gravitation center, or the identity center, we call it. It is also called the magnetic monopole in some books. It is essentially the seeding of the two crystals of your personality and your design, the consciousness and the unconsciousness, your soul purpose and your life purpose that come together and reside in your galactic center. It is magnetic. It has a magnetic charge on it, and the charge is about attraction. It attracts to you the right people, the right opportunities, the right circumstances, the right timing for you to be able to live out your life purpose. And what we don't realize is that this is always in operation. And we are affecting that magnetic field at times by what it is that we are expecting to see in our outer world, by based on what it is that we're thinking. So, if the expectation is different than what the magnetic monopole or your galactic center is attracting, you can block it, right? You can be blocking it or shielding yourself from it or dispersing that energy outward and away from you. Where if you remain open, remember the card yin, we need to remain open in receiving this information. And when we're in receiving of this information, it acts as an attractive force to bring us the matching opportunities or circumstances. I hope that makes sense, right? That this does, it is a two-way street in that you could, reflect all of that away from you. But you personally are not informing the galactic center so much as what you're doing is sending out the signal that attracts to you the right circumstances or whatever it is that you're focused on. Tricky, tricky, right? April, South Node. Okay, gotcha. The tail. When you said that, I thought maybe she means the dragon's tail. So there you go. Mimi says, thank you. I hope that answered everything. Rebecca, yes. Okay, good. Good, good, good. So, interesting conversation. I had no idea we were going here this morning, but I really like this. And when we, we're sitting here, working every day with the Mayan calendar and or the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar, right? They were pretty much one and the same, little different wording and a different way of looking at it, a little bit different way of looking at it. But the Maya believed that all of the energy for their lives emitted from the galactic center. They saw their life. Let me see if I can even, maybe I can draw this for you. So, when in their astrology, and you've seen this in Pleiadian Earth energy, astrology, that there's this intersection, this cross. Can you see that? Right? One is orientation of. In a universal orientation, and the other is earth orientation at the center, right? That they were a part of the universal energy as well as the earth energy, and where universal energy and earth energy came together, it was their purpose. And when you really look at what they seemed to believe that this was coming from, was what they called the central sun, which I believe was the galactic center. And it streams down to them, right? And they were a part of that. They were not separate. They're not outside of that stream anywhere, right? We tend to believe we are somewhere, out here, outside of that stream. But they believed themselves to be a part of that stream. And where the universal energy and the earth energy intersected became their life purpose, their destiny. And we see it as today's energy was three intuition. A person being born today would have that as their Pleiadian earth energy or their Mayan energy. And that it is, let's see, that one is seeing energy. Oh, I have the thing right here. Seeing energy is, or three. Seeing yesterday, intuiting Keeb, vulture. Keeb was the death mask, the energy of transformation and intuiting the right direction from a source unseen, right? The galactic center, the central sun. So each one of us has that. If we believe that we were born at this intersection, right? If I could create an intersection here, that you were in keyed with or imbued with or born into an energy that is both giving you your purpose for living and being and your destiny. And the entire of the society, in Mayan society, everybody knew what it was that your astrology was because it was your first name. Think of the kings, they are all for Ahau or for the, somewhere there was the number and the word, the key, so the universal energy and the earth energy that came together. There wasn't a person walking the planet in their civilization that didn't know what everyone else's purposes were, what their destinies were. So they could come together in a way to support one another in getting to what their destiny was. So a child, for example, that was born Ish would already be being groomed for the shaman. For the medicine person of the tribe, or for the priesthood, if you will. So someone that was born in the healing energy would already have been being trained as a healer, being encouraged to use their and define what their unique healing energy would be. Much, much different from our own lives right now, where we've gotten so far away from the divineness, from the esoteric or the spiritual, that we leave it up to this person to find their way without ever really showing them, hey, you have a reason, you have a purpose, and here's where you can find it. So is it any wonder then our society has devolved into this craziness that we see because we've gotten away. We've gotten away. We've broken off this piece of ourselves. And if we can pull that divine piece back and that physical piece and rejoin them, right? The universal energy with the earth energy joined together gives you your purpose and the meaning behind your life. So totally different way of looking at who it is you're here to be. Yeah, good, 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 good. Rebecca says fascinating and inspiring. I think so too. You know, for as barbaric as a people, right? That they had some, you know, whacked out ways of thinking, right? They're in their belief system, and even the people being sacrificed believe they were doing something good for the whole of the tribe. These people had some profound knowing, and that is so. We could take it to the next level. Right, we could take it to the next level, but by working the way we do in the mornings here, and by the own your own work that you do on finding your own true north and being your own true self, you're doing this work. We're slowly bringing this back in, right, where we can be coherent again, we can be whole again, and this particular full moon is one that works to bring us to that place, that opens that gateway, perhaps, and all we have to do is walk through it. All we have to do is rejoin it. We just need to remember it. So there you have it. Asa says, does our Mayan astrology tell us personally that now, our destiny or life purpose, that is? Yeah, in a real way, it does. I always found it pretty interesting. First of all, I was born to Monique, which would be to remembering in Pleiadian earth energy. And in Monique, there is, it's called Spirit's Tools. It's a hand, right? It's symbol, it's a hand. And the hand is handy, right? There's a lot of different things. So when you guys think of me, I bet you think of someone who has, wow, where did she learn all this stuff, right? Because I have all of these tools at my disposal through time, astrology, gene keys, human design, Mayan astrology, Mayan calendar, Pleiadian earth energy, all these things, right, that come to me. And they come to me as tools then to share with society, to share with the culture. That's my role. That's what I do. The two, of course, is interesting because it's the energy of duality, and I'm a Gemini, so there you have that, right? There's always these two sides of things that are going on in my life. And what is funnier than that is Monique is also called deer, and often I never see just one deer. It's always two deer. Almost like the universe sets me up to remember what I'm here to do, right? By seeing two deer. That one morning I had the one deer out there, remember, and I shot pictures of it and I posted it on Facebook and I thought there was only the one. When I actually walked to the edge of my porch, there was the other one, but it was out of my line of sight. But I saw it at the end, I saw it, and that two deer, it's always there. So yes, in a way, Asa, whatever it is that your Mayan symbol is what your destiny is here to be. So there are people, I have a friend who was born 12 Eek. Eek is breathing energy in Pleiadian, and Eek represents the wind. 12 is understanding the wind. The wind is about disseminating information, right? So she's also one that gathers in information and then she shares it out there with the world, right? So that is her job, her Mayan calendar, but she has to first understand it. She has to take it in, she has to understand it, and then she can re-share it in her own words, in her own way. So that's different, right? So yes, I have a book that actually, if you know you're really interested, maybe one morning we'll sit down and we'll just go through that book and get people their Mayan astrology. All you need for Mayan astrology or Pleiadian earth energy astrology is your date of birth. And whether you were born before sunrise or after sunrise, because that tells us what the day is going to be for you. So she says, wow, I'm going to look more into this. I think I'm a monkey. Monkey is Xuan, and Xuan is humorous, creative energy, right? Having fun and playing energy. Xuan should never be stodgy and not having fun. If you're having a good time, if you're a monkey, you're doing good. There's agility with the monkey, being able to jump through the different things in your life and move through them. So there are 20 earth signs, 20 Mayan symbols, and then there are the 13 universal energies. So you are going to be 1 through 13, and then there's going to be one of 20 spiritual signs that you have. So And there's a book actually, what is that guy's name? Bruce Schofield. And I want to say it's called Mayan Astrology. I think it's just called Mayan Astrology. And I have that book in my room back there. It's a really good book. And of course, the Pleiadian Earth Energy book, the astrology book itself, not the calendar so much, but the book has the charts in it that will tell you what you were born on, so that you will know what your Pleiadian Earth Energy birthday symbol is. And also, you can get the Mayan one and know what the Mayan symbol is. And I think it's important, right? It's important to know from a different perspective, perhaps. I mean, obviously, Asa, you're a Libra. You know that. You know what Libra means. It's about balance and harmony, relationship and love. All of that's so important to you. But how are you meant to apply that? That doesn't really say, right? Except maybe by the house that it's located in your chart. So we can use these other astrologies to clarify, kind of dial in and get more and more specific about what it is that we're here to do. So I'm never surprised when some new system comes along for me to share with all of you, because that's my path. That is my destiny to share. I once had a very powerful symbol shown to me. It was a weird, another one of those rating right up there with weird shit that's happened in my life. And the symbol looked like this. Let's see if I can do it. Because there's more to this Mayan story than what I'm sharing with you right now. And maybe someday I'll tell you more about this story. But the symbol that I received was this sort of symbol. And I remind you, I'm a terrible drawer. Looks kind of like a Ferris wheel, right? But it was a circle, an eight circle, in eight shapes or eight pie pieces with this hook on the end. That as soon as I saw the hook in my dream, I thought, oh, that's receiving information, right? That's receive. It's a receiver. It turned out that if I took some of this and moved it backwards to be like this, it sort of symbolized the Mayan cosmology again. And the first time I ever saw this was in 2000. I had the dream in 2003, but it was in 2006 or 2005 where I was actually watching a video about the Mayan calendar, and this man draws this out just like this. And I'm like, oh my God, it has something to do with the Mayan calendar and with the Mayan astrology. So sometimes, you receive symbols of, about what it is that you're here to do or about what comes next. And of course, then this led me to the Galactic Center, right? The Galactic Center. I still don't know what the eight pieces mean or why it was eight and not 12 or eight and not 10. That part didn't quite come clear, but it doesn't matter. At this point, I kind of got the message. You're here to share information. It was the precursor to that Mayan information coming to me. And then I picked that up and I started sharing that widely. I even took a drive all the way to New Mexico to share this and to other places. Linda, our little Linda out here in the morning, Linda Dennis, she went with me on that trip, and she had been gifted a staff from a Mayan elder on a trip that she took down to Mexico. And that never happens. Mayan elders never gift you with their staff, right? That's their symbol of power. That's their spiritual power. And this man gifted it to Linda. So Linda went with me on this trip, and she shared that story. We shared the staff with people, and I shared the information about the Mayan calendar and this Mayan astrology, which is so profound, right, for being so ancient on the planet. So when you're listening, when you're receiving, we do find ourselves on the right path. Whether you knew it or not, I bet you'll find you're on the right path. So there we have it. Is there a particular Pleiadian book you recommend? Yes. It is called Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology by Pia Orlean. PIA, here, I'm going to type it in here. So Pia. She's the same one that has written the calendar and the Mayan calendar. So in here, I can even show you her website. Is it on here? Yes, piaorlean.com, right over here. Let me turn it that way. There we go, piaorlean.com. And you can get the book from her there, or I believe it's on Amazon as well. And it's profound, it's deep. I got it immediately because of my knowledge of the Mayan calendar and having studied that for a while. So take time when you get the book, take time and move through it, you know, at your own pace. It's not like a study book that you just pick up and you know. Take some time. And if you guys have questions, if you get the book and you have questions, hey, let me know because I love talking about this stuff. Debbie Hedden, I'm always amazed and feel like I know nothing when I listen to you. I want to learn and wish my life allowed me the time needed, little by little. It may just be that you're here to learn, right? You're the student, you're the learner, and I happen to be the teacher. It's in my human design. My incarnation cross is the left angle cross of education. I'm in an education position and I learn from the people I teach. You may be in the student position and you learn from the teachers. So, but I also learn from all of my students. So there's that. Rebecca says that's the cone seen this in all ancient civilizations, the golden piece. Oh, cool. That makes so much sense to me in a way that's so bizarre. Because mostly what I see in that symbol, Rebecca, and for all of you listening, is that we aren't alone. There's no need for us to flounder, that we have everything we need if we only listen, if we only tune in. And that tuning in, our ancient ancestors knew that. They knew that. They lived that. And they still had chaos in their lives. I mean, it's not like they didn't suffer from famine or from, you know, crop failures or, you know, interpersonal relationship issues and wars and tribal warfare and all that. It's not that they didn't, but their spirituality allowed for them to relinquish almost that control, so that they could bring in this information and then live from that place. Now, did they always hear it correctly? Probably not. But you know, hey, that was so long ago in our human evolution. Just imagine what we could do now by marrying what we know with science and the natural world with the more unnatural or divine world, let's call it the divine world. If we married the spiritual world with the physical world, we could become whole. And that, of course, is what I hope for everybody, right? That we become whole. That's what we're after. And Leanna, oh my goodness, good morning to you. Rebecca says you're absolutely amazing for it's not that I'm amazing. I appreciate that you all think that. It's not, I'm not any more amazing than any one of you. The difference is I just happen to be doing something that I happen to trip into, if you will, what it is that I was here to do. While I'm here and I'm doing this, it feels so good. But I wander off my path all the time, always questioning, is this where I'm supposed to go? Is that what I'm supposed to do? So I'm just like you, right? It's just that I have this path and I know that this is my path. You also have this path and you know this path. Linda says it was a wonderful trip, so much fun. It was a 4,000-mile round trip. We left from Washington. We went down through Vancouver and into Portland, teaching stuff along the way. And then we went over to Reno and then down into Vegas and then over to Albuquerque and then back again. It was just fabulous. It was an amazing trip. I wish I could do that all the time. That's one of my things I feel like I could do is travel around the country sharing this information. But hey, it costs a lot of money to do that. And it costs a lot of fuel to do that when I could just come on air and do the same thing. Basically, right? I don't have to travel. I can get on air and share all this wonderful information and these insights and these people that write these wonderful books with all of you. So maybe someday though, I will get a motorhome and I will do all of that because I think it would still be fun. All right, people, it is a little bit after 9. It is time for us to go today. So tomorrow we'll be talking more about the full moon and the specific contacts that the moon is making with the other planets involved. And maybe we'll have some time to do some card readings. Or you know what? Maybe tomorrow I will have my Mayan calendar book here with me and we can go through that. So I'll be asking for birth dates and whether you were born before the sun rose or after the sun rose. Okay, so that'll be fun to do. All right, guys. Much love to everybody. Have a wonderful day. See you manana. Bye for now.